We're in Mark chapter 10, verse 13, and I've already read it, but I'd like to look at it again because it's an extraordinary verse. I mean, it gives us something that we need to know about. This is our final sermon on worship and what worship looks like and how we work in worship and how we worship in worship and how we come to worship and how things just flow in worship. In chapter 10 of the Gospel of Mark, in the 13th verse, I'm going to read it again even though you heard it, and I'm going to read it a little slower though. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have them touch them. The community was coming to Jesus. There was men and women, moms and dads, and children. And they were bringing their children for Jesus to touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. Now, why do you think the disciples would rebuke them? You ever think about that? This is the community. But way back then, when this was going on, children weren't worth that much. In that sort of a culture, children were just children. Should be seen and not heard. Do we remember that saying? Children should be seen and not heard, especially in church. Children should be seen and not heard, especially at home. How many of you, and I'm not calling you teenagers children, I'm going to call you teenagers. How many of you teenagers are only seen and not heard at home? Anybody quiet? Come on. Yeah. Parents, how many of your teenagers are quiet at home? They're not quiet at my house. Children are part of the community. The disciples are rebuking the people because they didn't want the children getting in Jesus' way. They didn't want, oh, Jesus, he has a job. He's supposed to be preaching and teaching and healing. I mean, how dare they? This is the Son of God. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes the disciples. Stop that. Stop that. In these verses right here, Jesus is raising children up. They're part of the community. They're part of our community in this church. Some of the things that we're looking at this morning is, in worship, we have community. We have men, women, and children, and all. The other points we're going to look at is pastoral direction. And the last one I call unto the uttermost. I'll let you think about that for a little while. Unto the uttermost. I wonder what Dave means by that. We'll get to that. But community. Worship happens in a community. And Jesus raised children up in that community. And we should be raising children up in our community. And we do. In this church, we have children's church, we have discipleship hour. We use the children in many ways. I shouldn't say use the children. We welcome the children into worship. In some churches, if kids were running around a little bit and being a little noisy, people would get indignant. Children should be heard and not seen. And I'm not saying let children run wild. But do we have to put a thumb on them and push them down so hard that they can't express worship? We want them to worship. We bring them with us to worship so that they might learn and understand what it is to worship a holy God in a setting with some self-control. They have to learn that. And Jesus goes on to say, he says, let the children, little children, come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Think about that. Little Lily, little Alex, all right, and all the rest of our children up front here, the kingdom belongs to them. The kingdom belongs to them because they have a childlike faith. It's extraordinary the faith that children have. Children are the future of our church. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. Oh my goodness, community. Children are the future of our community. Children with that childlike faith. I do believe they can see God in moments where we miss Him. Unfortunately, for us as adults, we've exchanged that childlike outlook, that gift that you have as a child, for a fine-tuned, intellectually controlled outlook. You ever thought about that? You go to school, you learn, you're taught to do this and not do this. And in the process of growing up, you kind of lose that little thing of childlike faith. I want to get you to think about that this morning. Think about when you were children, okay? Think of the good times that you had when you were a child. Can you think back to when you had that childlike faith? Now, I don't know everybody's story. I don't know if you had a terrible childhood. But I gotta believe somewhere in there that there was some good points if you had a terrible childhood. And if you had a wonderful childhood like I had, there was a lot of great points in there. Oh, there were some bad ones. My dad was an alcoholic. He would rather be out in the community with his buddies, drinking buddies, than be at home with us. His loss. He chose. But a community full of children, young adults, older adults. That's what a community is all about. You can't just have one flavor. We're in the Old Testament, and we're looking at an extraordinary woman. It's chapter 15 and verse 21. And I'm going to read in chapter 19 to try and fill in some of the gap here, give you an idea of what's going on here. This extraordinary woman. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 19, I'm going to read from there. When Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen went out into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. And then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women following her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. The horse and its rider He has hurled into the sea." This is an instance of worship. This lovely woman, filled with praises to God because her nation, her family, her community had been saved from the armies of Egypt, broke out into song and dance and worship before God. It's an extraordinary thing. I like that our church is growing in such a way where we have beautiful ladies leading in worship. That is a great thing. Ladies, I'm telling you, if you feel a call in your heart to worship God in such a way, do it. Don't wait. Talk to the pastor, but do it. Search God out. Find out where He wants to use you in this community of faith. I don't want to single out anybody really, but Miss Dottie, she is the leading and guiding force of getting that parade float together. Now, I didn't get to see the whole parade. I don't know how many other churches are in there. But we were there, a faith community going out, being led of a lovely woman and her family. And there was other ladies there helping. That's what it's all about. When God lays a call on your heart, follow it. Let God develop it in you. It's an extraordinary thing to serve a living God. Don't let anybody ever tell you, well, you're just a woman. You don't have any say. Jesus destroyed that notion, as I'm going to share with you scriptures later on. That notion is destroyed. There are leadership roles in all walks of your life. How often have you been a leader in your family, ladies? Especially when your husband is stumbling, like I do sometimes. My wife has had to lead because sometimes I fall. We're all fallen, right? Sometimes you make a mistake. Sometimes you get a poor attitude. And sometimes there's a woman that has to lead. There's another extraordinary woman I'd like to talk about just for a few moments. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing her name right. Huldah. Huldah. I'll spell it for you. It's H-U-L-D-A-H. Huldah. I kind of like that name. Huldah. Has a kind of a musical ring to it. So if you would turn to 2 Chronicles, we're going to read about her. And it's very short, but it's interesting. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Starting in verse 14, I'm not going to read this whole thing. And what happened here was, to give you a synopsis, you can read it for yourselves. The king was restoring the temple. The Israelites had been going through some difficult times, and they found the book of the law in the temple. And they had been away from that book for so long, they didn't realize what it was. But they took it to a prophetess named Huldah. And she had that much respect in the community that she told the king and the people, she said, "We need to read this book again." Now, if you read that whole chapter, all the way from the 14th down to the 33rd verse, you're going to see, and I'm not going to read it here, it would take way too long, and I have other things to cover. But here is a woman, because of what she did in her community, she prayed, she fasted, she was a pillar of her community, she was a woman of God. And the men, the king, and the men and his counselors sent the book to her to ask her of her opinion. Ladies, your opinion matters. Your opinion matters. Now, I know most men don't listen, I being one of them. And I see some of you ladies smiling, going, "Oh, yeah, you're one of those guys." Mm-hmm. Sometimes your opinion, we don't listen, much to our pain, much to our pain. Now we move on to the men. Kind of saved the men parts to the last. The community. How does the community work with men? Well, men are supposed to be leaders. Men are supposed to be strong. Men are supposed to be affirming of the community. And we had men that were there at the parade yesterday. I would like to see more men. Us men, we need to do what we're supposed to be doing. Being in positions of leadership, being strong, helping the ladies and the children. Men, you're an integral part of this community, this faith community. We need every single one of us. Men, stand up. God has given you a call. Stand up. Yeah, could be hard. Yep, it's going to be hard sometimes. But be the men of God that God has called you to be. That's part of the community. That's what we need for worship, the faithful community. And the last one is all in the community. And when I looked at the readings I had to read on all, that includes all people. All people. And I don't want to use the word special, but let's call them special because they might have a physical disability. Are we opening and welcoming them in our congregation? There's going to be all kinds of people coming. We're a small little church right now. But when God starts bringing people in here, all kinds of people. Some are going to have special needs. And I want to tell you what, most of the people that I have known, I knew one lady, very much so, she was very independent. She was crippled from the neck down in a wheelchair. She could move her arms, but she couldn't close her hands. She had special attachments to put on so she could actually hold a pencil and move her arm. And I learned more about the love of Jesus Christ from that lady. Than I can tell you about. Her name was Nancy. She was a wonderful, wonderful woman. And everything for her was difficult. Can you imagine going to the bathroom when you're in a wheelchair and you can't move? She had to have somebody help her with everything. And she lived alone. She had a service dog, and she was happy. She was a happy woman. She worshiped God and did the things that she could do, and she never stopped learning. She always tried to do more things. She was an artist. She would use a pencil, specially made pencil, in her mouth, and she drew stuff that I can't draw. And she was using her mouth. So we as a community need to be open to those special people that will come into our congregation, come into our lives, and show us what it truly means to worship. Oh, she had a beautiful voice. She could worship. And what I loved about her was it didn't matter that she was hurt, physically hurt, and would never operate like you and I operate, moving around, driving a car, doing things. Oh, she did drive a car, but it was quite difficult. But those people are coming. They're part of our community. We got to welcome them in there. And then there's the last part of all is cultural diversity. Our nation is changing. Okay? There's going to be people coming. I've been inviting a lovely couple, Angel and Rebecca. I think they were here last week. He's Hispanic. Does it matter? Please tell me it doesn't matter. Shake your heads. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the shape, the color, the hair, the tattoos. He doesn't. All that stuff is between that person and God. We need to stay out of that and be welcoming and love them. And allow them to love us. And we all become that community. When God starts growing this church and He starts sending people, all kinds of people, isn't it going to be great? It's going to be different. It's going to be different in here. But He's going to fill this place up with all kinds of people, with all kinds of joys and all kinds of problems and all kinds of things. And it's all going to come in and we're all going to mix it all up and all have fun with it and cry with it. People are going to come hurt. That's what a faith community is about. That's what worship is about. We come to God and say, God, we love You. We want to worship You. We pray for healing every Sunday. Don't we pray for medical healing and spiritual healing? Those people are going to come. And it's going to be more than one sheet. It's going to be one sheet with the back filled up and then two sheets, both sides. Can you imagine a day when we pray for the people in our congregation and it takes a half an hour to pray for their needs and our needs? The needs of the community. That's what worship is all about. Coming before God with everything that we have and laying it out and saying, God, here I am. I came here to worship You, to thank You. I had a crummy week, Lord, but thank You, I can breathe. My kids are driving me crazy, but thank You, Lord, I can walk. I love You. That's what worship is all about. Then the next part of this sermon was pastoral direction in the community. You've got to have pastoral direction for worship. Can you imagine what it would look like if we had 400 people in here? We've got about 60 people in here. Let's put 400 people in here, and we're going to put the Pentecostals over in that corner, and they're going to do Holy Rolling. And then we're going to take the other churches that like to pray in tongues, and we're going to put them in that corner. And then we're going to take some other people that are just staunch conservative Christians, we're going to put them here, and they're all going to sit like this. Amazing grace. Can you imagine that? And they're doing their thing over there, and they're doing their thing over there, and we got the pew sitters here, and we got some people over here that like to have their animals in worship, and the whole place is just going crazy. Would it be worship? You got to have a leader, pastoral leadership, a called pastor. And that's what we have in Pastor Rich. He was called to be a pastor. And God called him and sent him to this congregation. And we need to listen to him. We need to learn from him. We need to love him, because I know he loves each and every one of you. That's all part of worship and the worshiping community, leadership. We have Brother Bob Bolts, the president of the elders. Okay? And the elders are supposed to keep an eye on the pastor. If he starts preaching something that is way, way, way over here and it's not scriptural, they're to hold him to task on it. And the pastor is under who? Jesus Christ. Pastors are only given stewardship of this congregation for a short period of time. And to be a pastor and a teacher, you will be held to a higher standard. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I wonder if I got the wrong... Yeah, there we go. I think I got the wrong... I did, I'm sorry. James. My notes are a little off there. James chapter 3, verse 1. Yeah, I'm trying to teach you. Well, we're going through pages here. James. James chapter 3, verses 1. I often think of this. I think of this for Sunday school teachers, discipleship hour teachers, anybody who teaches. This is a sobering verse. Okay? For pastors, too. What are pastors but teachers? Right? James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. There's a call on the life of people to be teachers. You got to feel that call. And if God has called you to be a teacher, to be part of the community, the faith community where you're a teacher, I don't care where it is, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. Do it with everything that's inside of you. That's what helps create a community, a worshiping community. And now we come to unto the uttermost. Unto the uttermost. In all these sermons that we've done on worship, we've always talked about worship in this setting. Okay? Sunday morning, here we are. We've all come together. There's the opening, the welcoming. We come in. We pray. We ask for forgiveness of our sins. Sometimes we have communion. All right? There's the preaching of the word. And then there's the sending out. The benediction. Go. But what is it to worship in the uttermost? The uttermost. In every moment. Your lives are a sacred worship all the time. Doesn't matter if you're here, corporately worshiping with all your friends in a faith community, or if you're out there on your own. We were worshiping God yesterday in the middle of Lebanon in a parade with all kinds of people that we didn't even know. Now, some of them we did know, because I had some people that I knew going, "Hi, Dave." And what I did was I gave him a track. Here you go. Merry Christmas. That was worship. That whole parade was worship. Putting the parade float together. Getting everything up. Putting the costumes on the kids and ourselves. Brother Dan was Joseph. He looked like Joseph's grandfather. He had a very young girl as a bride. Mary was very young compared to Joseph. But we were worshiping God. How were we worshiping? Well, there was music. Miss Sally had the choir singing. And, you know, the sound system worked most of the time. We were singing, okay? We were worshiping God in the open, not behind these four walls. The people of Lebanon could see it. They didn't know it. They didn't know it. They didn't. Oh, look at this float coming down here. It's the heart of Christmas. Oh, it's just some Bible church trying to put Jesus back in the holidays. Yeah, that's what it was. And we succeeded by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We were worshiping God. And that's what I mean to the uttermost. You can worship God anytime. You can be worshiping God when you're cooking Thanksgiving dinner. You could be worshiping God changing a tire on your truck. You could be worshiping God pulling a tractor, hauling a tractor from wherever you got it home for your son to tear apart and fix. Okay? You could be worshiping God going to the library. You could be worshiping God in all situations. I want you to get out of the mindset that, okay, it's Sunday morning, it's now 10 o'clock, and we're going to church to worship. Yeah, we do that. And we do it corporately. You're all my family, and I love each and every one of you. And we come here to worship together, but you can be worshiping God in almost anything you're doing, in any situation, anywhere. We sung the song that every breath is sacred, the breath of life breathed into us. You don't know when your last breath is going to go, when you're going to breathe out that final breath, and there's no more. Shouldn't every breath you take be an act of worship? That's what I'm learning from going through all these outlines that I'm working on about worship. Worship is an attitude. Worship is not a place. Worship can occur anywhere, at any time. It should be all the time. Can you imagine worshiping God when you first get up in the morning and you make your way to the bathroom? You just got out of bed. Your hair is all oily. Your face is covered in fur. Thank you. Okay? You've got bad breath and you look in the mirror and go, oh. So, don't you think God looks past all that bad breath? He's not looking at this per se, he's looking here at your soul. Worship can occur anywhere, at any time. All you have to do is institute it. In your heart, in your mind, say, I'm worshiping God at this very moment. I'm in the middle of Walmart handing out tracts to some woman, or listening to somebody that you can't attract to, they're crying on your shoulder, oh, my whole life is terrible. And you're ministering. You're ministering. That's worship. Jesus worshiped God his entire life, from the moment he was born. From the moment he was born, forever, his whole life was an act of worship. Everywhere. He ate with sinners. Can you imagine going into a bar with someone? Hey, Dave, come with me. Let's go have a drink. A beer. Go into the bar and you start talking to them about Jesus. In a bar? Jesus ate with sinners. The scribes and the Pharisees are mad at him. He goes, what are you doing? You're over here with sinners. Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. We're not here for the healthy. We're here for the sick. Let's get out there and be with the sick. The people that need to know that Jesus Christ loves them. I'm not saying put yourselves in a dangerous situation, but be ready to worship and minister at a moment. This is our final sermon on worship. And we've looked at quite a few things. And we're down to the uttermost. The Holy Spirit, when you became a Christian, indwelled your heart. God is now inhabiting Himself inside of you. Each one of you is a temple. God dwells there. That's why I say worship could happen at any moment. You take God into the world. In your very being. I once had a gentleman say to me one time, he was struggling with pornography, and he said the worst time that he was tempted was when his family would leave and he was alone. And I said to him, I said, when are you alone? Are you a Christian? Yes, I am a Christian. I said, then the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You're not alone. You drug the Holy Spirit right into that situation and you looked at inappropriate material. You're never alone, people. You are never alone. The Holy Spirit dwells in you and keeps you, watches over you. Maybe kickstart your conscience a little bit. Shouldn't be doing that. Why'd you get so mad at them? Are you sure you should be angry? At any moment, the Holy Spirit could say, let's worship. Worship me. Worship. You could break out in song in the middle of Walmart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The prices are too high. I don't have enough funds. Somebody let me out of here. Let me free. I'm just tormenting, right? But can you imagine singing? I want to tell you. I've enjoyed this morning. Miss Sally, you need to make your way to the organ. As we come to the end of this sermon, I'm not even sure what time it is. How well did I do? Not bad. I went a little over. Some of you are starting to yawn, so I guess I need to land this plane. But think about the places that you as a community, an individual, there's a community, you and the Holy Spirit, that constitutes a community. You're not alone. We're not alone here. We have each other. You could worship at any time. And you don't have to be flamboyant like me and worship in the open where you're waving your arms around and knocking the poor little old lady over in the line there at Walmart. I'm worshiping you. You can worship quietly. You could be in that situation where something is going on near you and it's not a good situation. Somebody's fighting or crying or something. And you could worship God in your presence and pray for them or the situation around you. Oh. Would you rise with me and pray with me, my community? Father in heaven, I ask for your abundant guidance and grace, not only for myself, but for this congregation. Father, help us to realize that we could be worshiping you continuously all the days of our lives in every situation, that we are to worship you and we are to be a community, a worshiping community. And Father, I ask that you lay the power of the Holy Spirit on each individual here, that they might go out and worship you by handing out tracts, talking to people, telling them of Jesus Christ, being the witness in the world, the light and the salt that this world so greatly needs. Father, in all things, we thank you so much. I'm going to give you the benediction at this time, and then we'll sing our benediction hymn. Father, I ask that you send these people, this faith community, out into the community of the world larger and influence that community out there. Father, we are your children. May we always, always be mindful of the worship that we have with you, in you, and through you. May we always, always be faithful witnesses to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.